Let me ask that again. Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Now, listen, before I get into the scripture and such, it's going to be a great message, I promise you. But how many of you know that if it's from the word of God, it'll always be a very good message? Amen. It's not my message, it's his. And that's what makes it great. This morning, I want to talk about a certain subject that's normally doesn't seem at face value to be related to the Christmas season. But if you'll bear with me, I'll tie it in with a narrative that is in fact the Christmas season. So just be patient with me. It will have Christ at the center of it. All right. So open your Bible with me this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. I'm entitling the message, Christ is the End of the Law. Christ is the End of the Law. And that title comes to us from the very scripture that Scott shared as a call to worship, Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that Christ is the End of the Law. And we're going to see this morning how we can use one word to describe the Old Testament and one word to describe the New Testament, all right? And it's found here in John chapter 1, verse 17. So I'll go ahead and jump in and read verse 17. For the law, everybody say law, please.
Law.
Was given through whom?
Moses.
Through Moses. But grace, everybody say grace.
Grace.
And truth came through Jesus Christ. Notice, the law was given through whom?
Moses.
Wasn't Moses known as the lawgiver?
Right.
And grace came through, was brought to us by whom? Jesus Christ. So listen very carefully at the outset. The old covenant can be summed up in one word. And what word is that? The law. The new covenant can be summed up in one word. And one word. What word is that?
Grace.
Grace. Thank you. Okay, very good. Now, I find it interesting, though we are, and if you have any doubts, come on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock and learn from the book of Hebrews. We are a new covenant people. We are, you know, the old covenant has been fulfilled. It has been done away with. And the word the author of Hebrews uses to describe it is the old covenant is obsolete. It is useless. There's no need to go back and try to fulfill some of those laws, some of those strict laws that were a sheer impossibility to fulfill outside of the help of God in a person's life. Amen. And it says now, you know, you're now in a new covenant. Live a new covenant life. Now, but I find it very interesting that still to this late date in the body of Christ, there are a lot of believers that mean well. How many of you know that you can mean well and still be wrong?
Yep.
There are a lot of well-meaning people out there that are W-R-O-N-G, wrong. They are wrong, and they mean well, and to them, their concept of obeying God is a very strict obedience, harsh, judgmental, crusty, impersonal, critical of others, religion that in their minds and in their hearts, they think they are doing God a service. Can I get a witness, please?
Amen.
How many of you have ever run into old covenant minded believers? Thanks, Terry. How many of you would rather be sitting at the dentist's office in a chair getting a tooth pulled than to be around old covenant minded believers?
With no
Novocaine. Thank you, brother. You feel the way I feel. Because at least the dentist, as much as he's inflicting pain for you, it's for your good and he's not judging you.
Amen.
Right? It astounds me. Listen, church family. Christ is the End of the Law. What that means in the Greek language, Greek word talos, it means to be complete, to fulfill the law. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill the law. I've come to bring that system of obedience through stringent rules and regulations to an end. And he came to bring us relationship. Grace is all about relationship. You know what the difference is when it comes to rules under the old covenant and rules under the new covenant? Under the old covenant, if I disobeyed, I got whacked. Right? We call that fear of punishment. So why did we obey under the old covenant? Why did people obey under the old covenant? Because the old covenant could be summed up like this. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get whacked. It's called the fear of punishment. Right? 1 John 4:18. John writes and he says that in love, in grace, there is no fear of punishment because perfect love, perfect grace drives out fear. Which leads me to grace. Why don't I want to disobey? I don't want to disobey because I'm breaking the heart of my Father. See the difference? Old covenant is, I don't want to disobey because I'm going to get whacked. Under the new covenant, I don't want to disobey because I don't want to hurt my Father's heart. See, it's more personal. The law, the old covenant system of doing things was very impersonal. And let me ask you this question. Did that old system, was it successful? Did people obey all of a sudden, all the time?
No.
No. I was reading through the book of Nehemiah, just finished it. I think it's chapter 9 where Nehemiah talks about how the children of Israel repeatedly, they would obey, get prosperous, disobey. God would punish them, they would get their act together, and then they would obey and then disobey. God would punish them, they'd get their act together, and on went the cycle. Rinse, wash, or wash, rinse, repeat. Over and over and over. So let's look at the law, the mentality of the law. There is, number one, fear of punishment in the law. Is there not?
Yep.
There's fear of punishment. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you do what? I was talking to a lady here this morning at Starbucks. She's a wonderful lady, and we were talking about her system. You know, she's a Roman Catholic, and I said, oh, you know, that's great, because we started relating to each other. You know, she's a widow lady up in age, and, you know, I was talking to her about how I was raised a Roman Catholic, and she said, I told her, you've never lived until you've had a nun pull you by the ear. She laughed and she smiled. She said, you know, and this is what she said. It astounds me that in a lot of churches today, they have a lot of security detail. Catholic churches have security detail. She said, if you just install the nuns, it'll take care of any potential bad thing. Amen. Some of you might not relate, baby. I can give you a taste of a nun ear pulling. Free of charge. Won't charge you any more offering for that. So there is fear of punishment under the law. You want to know what else is under the law with this mentality? Is it's two-sided. How many of you know that there's a double standard? I'll judge you more harshly than I will myself. If you're a Christian and you have the belief that you can assert yourself and your moral authority over another human being, you are not acting like Jesus. You're acting like a raw, crusty Pharisee. You're not acting like Jesus. Did Jesus ever flex his moral muscles among the weak and the sinners?
No.
They felt so comfortable around them that they hung out with Jesus. They lounged with him. In fact, the Pharisees begin the name calling with Jesus. They said, this man is a friend of sinners. They didn't say that to flatter him. They said that to accuse him. He's a friend of sinners. Well, let me tell you, baby, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful he is a friend of sinners because I is one. Right? I am a sinner, and I, for one, am thankful he's a friend of sinners. He's my friend. He's my big brother. How many of you know that big brother will always defend us against bullies? I'm thankful for that. So there's a double standard. I'll judge you more harshly than I will myself. You want to know the truth, church family? We judge other people by their worst actions, and we judge ourselves by our best intentions.
Amen.
And so a lot of people, they carry themselves as these moral authorities When in truth, you know what Jesus would say to one of them? Look at the church at Laodicea. You are blind. You are wretched. You are poor. You are naked. That's what Jesus would tell a self-righteous bigot. Can we call it for what it is, church family? They, you know what they are? They are bullies. I remember I once knew a youth pastor. He was always a bully. But you know what he would do? He would go through his youth groups, social media accounts, and if he saw something, a post that was untasty, and he would just blast them on their Facebook page. He would just, this is inappropriate. And I thought, who are you? Are you the spiritual Gestapo? I mean, what? Are you going to start flexing your moral muscles? And to you, that's the definition of spirituality? Whatever happened to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness? Isn't that more like Jesus rather than me trying to say, yo, I have a concern about you? Really? I'm telling you, baby, can you tell that I've encountered a lot of this in my time in ministry and as a Christian? And, I've come to the point that if anybody tries to exert their moral authority over me, I'm just going to take my little axe out and chop down their high horse. Let's look at the log that is beaming out of your eye.
Amen.
Instead of you trying to take the splinter out of my eye. Can you tell I'm done with this? That I'm so done with law-minded believers. I really am. Gosh, I just... Huh. You know what I love for the Lord to do? For their job in heaven to be? That they scrub toilets in heaven. For eternity.
Yep.
I would love that. Maybe that'll teach them a little more Christ-likeness. Right? But we are in what? We are in grace.
Yeah.
In grace, church family, I do not see your sin. Listen carefully. I do not see your sin as a threat to my holiness. I see your sin as a cause for me to pray for you, to love you, to listen to you, to try to encourage you to come back to the Lord.
Amen.
It's relational. I value you as a person in spite of whatever struggle you have.
Yeah.
Isn't that the Jesus style? It got quiet all of a sudden. That is the Jesus style, church family. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the fulfillment. He laid it aside. He fulfilled. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Great. It's fulfilled. Now let's move on to the new covenant. See, we want to be lenient on ourselves, but we feel like to be spiritual or Christian that we have to bully others. Tell others what to do with their lives. Oh! You know what Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 13? He said, judge yourselves. He didn't say judge others. Judge yourself to see if you are in the faith.
Amen.
A lot of people say, love the sinner, hate the sin. You know what? I've come up with a better saying. Love the sinner, hate your sin.
Yeah.
See, nobody wants to hate their sin. They want to hate on everybody else's sin. Church family, it's time that we act like Christ, that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we put on new covenant clothes and show grace. If I'm really troubled, listen carefully, church family, if I'm really troubled by your sin, I will weep and not judge.
Amen.
It'll drive me to my knees and pray for you out of the love of Christ that compels me to sacrifice time for you in prayer and not think that I'm going to clean your act up. Woo. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We are new covenant believers. Let's start acting like new covenant believers. All right? So far, so good, everybody?
Yep.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, please. And this is where the Christmas narrative comes in. And buckle your seatbelt. We're going to take off here so soon. It's going to be good. Connie, you believe that, right?
Amen.
Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at a narrative when Jesus is born. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple for all intents and purposes to have him dedicated to the Lord. Alrighty. And we see in verse 23 that Simeon, alright, enters the picture. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. All right? Now, what's happening here, church family? Let's do a little recap. It's going to be important that we do a little recap. This man was old in age. The Lord had shown him that he would not die until he saw Christ, the child, right? And then he could live, he could rejoice and thank God that he had the opportunity to see Christ, and then he could depart in peace, as he said, right? Now go down with me to verse 36. We're going to see another character in this narrative. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Okay, we see two characters, okay? First character is whom?
Simeon.
And Simeon said what, basically? What did God show Simeon? He was going to see the Lord before he died, just before he died. And then the second character, what's that character's name? Anna. She lived in the temple, prayed and fasted, and she got to see Jesus, and she thanked God. Listen to what she did. She thanked God and told everybody in Jerusalem about Jesus. All right, you ready for this? Buckle your seatbelt. The word Shimon or Simeon comes from the Hebrew word Shimon. Shimon. The root word for Shimon is Shema. Shema. What is the Shema in the Old Testament? Deuteronomy 6, 3, and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. The Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I just quoted to you Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. That's called the Shema, from which the name Shimon draws its meaning. That, the Deuteronomy 6, 3, and 4, listen carefully, church family, is in essence a summary of the law of the Old Testament. What did Jesus say in Matthew 22 when one of the experts of the law came to him and said, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And how did Jesus answer? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. The Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And notice what Jesus finished saying in Matthew 22. He said, the whole law is summed up in these two commands. The whole law is summed up in these two commands. From the Shema, from whence we get our name Shimon or Simeon. So who does Simeon represent? The law. Notice, the law said, what was his prayer? Lord, I have seen Jesus. Let me depart in peace. So the law is praying to God. Listen carefully. The law is saying to God, my eyes have seen the Redeemer. My purpose for living has come to an end. The law, listen carefully. Who's the second character? Anna. Somebody have a margin in your Bible? What does the word, the name Anna mean? The name Anna means grace. Good, honey. I love that. So you're already connecting. What did Grace pray to the Lord? Thank you for this child. And Grace told everybody about Jesus. The law came through Moses. Or the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So in this narrative in Luke 2, we see the law sees Jesus and says, Lord, my purpose for living has come to an end. I see the child. It's time for me to bow out. It's time for me to fade to black. It's time for me to be done. And then Grace sees the child, the Redeemer, and says, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I'm going to tell everybody that he is the Redeemer. So is the law's purpose done? Yes. Listen, in Galatians 5, Paul the Apostle said, the law can be summed up, the entire law, these are his exact words, the entire law can be summed up in this. You want to fulfill the law? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love. Don't judge. Don't criticize. Don't go snooping around for faults or failures. Come on, somebody. Love your neighbor as yourself, and in so doing, you fulfill the whole law. The law's purpose faded to black. Jesus comes on the scene, and Grace says, wow, what a gift. Thank you, God. I'm going to tell everybody about him. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Have you ever seen it before? Isn't that beautiful? Shimon, Shema, the law, I'm done. Grace, I'm just beginning. We are new covenant believers. We are all about love, loving God and loving others, right? And this in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, love works no harm or does no harm to his or her neighbor. Love doesn't harm his or her neighbor. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for the beauty and the meaning in your word. Lord God, help us to be New Testament believers. Help us to be about our Father's business. Lord, we are not of the tribe of, we are not of the group of Simeon. Lord, he is passed upon seeing the Christ child. But upon the birth of the Christ child, Lord, grace arose to the scene. Grace thanks heaven, thanks you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and tells everybody about the Savior. There's a better covenant, a new covenant. Help us to believe it. Help us to receive it. Help us to live it in our lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen.